Bhagavad Leela, Chapter 86. Arjun kidnaps Subhadra, and Krishna blesses his devotees, Shutadev and Bahulashva, a king and a Brahmin. Once while on pilgrimage throughout Bharatvarsh, Arjun came to Prabhasa Kshetra on the west coast of India in Gujarat, near Dwarka. He heard that Balaram was arranging to marry his sister to Duryodhan, who was his student in club fighting. But Krishna and his father Vasudeva were not in favor of this. Arjun wished to marry Subhadra, so he devised a plan to disguise himself as a sannyasi, a Vaishnava Tridandi sannyas. And he passed Chaturmasya in Dwarka, unseen and unrecognized or detected by the Dwarkavasis. Once, after Arjun had finished his Chaturmasya 4-month prep of the rainy season, and he was eligible now to again accept general invitations to eat in the homes of householders, at that time, he was invited one day by Balaram to come to his home. While eating sumptuously, Arjun kept looking at Subhadra, who was enchanting and had brightened, and his eyes were very brightened by affection for her. Vice versa, upon seeing Arjun, who was very attracted to women, Subhadra, the sister of Balaram, confirmed in her mind, let's say took a sankalpa, that by his characteristics she concluded that Arjun was not a sannyasi, and thus she fell in love with him. Arjun was determined to marry Subhadra. He was thinking of her 24 hours a day, and his mind was always agitated. Taking permission of Vasudev and Devaki and also Krishna, Arjun kidnapped Subhadra one day when she went to do puja in a temple. When Balaram heard that this so-called sannyasi was actually Arjun, he became furious. Balaram was pacified by Krishna and other family members who fell at his feet and begged him to forgive Arjun. When Balaram understood that Subhadra was very much attached and in love with Arjun, then he became satisfied. And to show his happiness, he sent a large dowry to Subhadra. Meanwhile, in another kingdom of Mithila, the capital of Videha, the Brahmin Shutadev and the king Bahulashva engaged in a pastime with Krishna. Krishna says, one can ask the question, why this sudden transition in Shukadev's narration? Because generally the trend is that Prakshit Maharaj asks some questions about dynasties, or in this case, he was asking about his family, his relatives, because Subhadra is his relative. He wanted to know how was she. He heard about the story of how so many of his relatives were married from Shukadev. So now he actually asked, that's how the chapter started, "Oh Shukadev, please tell me how Arjun," Pariksit said, because Pariksit could understand that, of course, the days were also running out. He only had 7 days to hear. But from Shukadev Goswami's gestures, that this narration of this Bhagavat Puran, the glories of Krishna's devotees, was reaching its end, and so was his own life. So at that time, Pariksit said, "Oh, Master, although we have heard about the marriages of everyone, from Baladev to Aniruddha, we have not heard anything about Subhadra's marriage." But then he asked, "How did Arjun marry her? I must ask you about this because Subhadra is my grandmother." So this is the why he's answering that question and telling this Leela, which is a standard throughout the Bhagavatam. The inquirer, or disciple, student, sadhaka, asks a question of the guru and then patiently, attentively, submissively listens to the answer. So now, all of a sudden, without being asked any questions, suddenly Shukadev immediately starts speaking some other story she wasn't asked about, which seems totally unrelated, and one may wonder how this happened. So Vishnu says that in text 13 commentary, without being asked by his student or disciple, Parikshit, Shukadev started narrating a special pastime of Krishna's, which Shukadev himself, along with so many other sages, had previously witnessed. Now suddenly Shukadev spontaneously remembered it. So sometimes the narration of Bhagavatam is more like a stream of consciousness or free flow speaking. Whatever comes to his mind, he may speak it if it's glories of the Lord and his devotees. The Brahmana was a Grihastha, but he didn't endeavor much to make his living. He was satisfied to serve Krishna and just take whatever Krishna arranged. The king of the province that he lived in, Bahulashva, was also Krishna's bhakta, and he was not greedy to expand his kingdom. Krishna wanted to please his devotees, so he took many rishis with him, and they went to that kingdom of Videha, controlled by King Bahulashva. Krishna was accompanied by a large retinue of famous sages like Narad, Vyasadeva, Parashuram, Brihaspati, Atri Muni, Maitreya, and Shukadev. They passed through so many towns on their way to visit these two devotees, and everyone who saw Krishna passing along the way naturally got supremely blessed. Verses say that they relish the vision of Krishna. So we ask the question, how could they relish the sweetness of Krishna who has a transcendental form with their mundane vision, their simply ordinary or so-called ordinary resonance of Bharadvarsha? So this verse 21 explains that Krishna destroyed the ignorance in their eyes by his merciful glance. Savikshan means Kripavaloka. And then, after destroying their ignorance, Krishna gave all these passerbys that he saw, or just standing on the road watching, and he gave them the realization of the supreme object and devotion to himself, which is the only means to realize and see Krishna's sweet transcendental form. As he says in Uddhava Gita, Bhaktihamekaya Graya. O Uddhav, I am only attainable by bhakti. Knowing that Krishna had come simply to favor them, the king of the province of Videha, King Bahulashva, and the humble, simple living Brahmin Shukadev, they greeted the Lord and prostrated at his feet. And they both invited Krishna and his entourage of sages to visit their houses. So to please them, he accepted both invitations. How he did this says that Krishna manifested himself and all the sages accompanying him, which were already mentioned, in duplicate forms. And these two Krishnas and these two Vyasas and these two Shukadevs and two Atris and Parashurams, Brihaspatis, these two different forms entered both houses of King Bahulashva and Shukadev without the other person seeing it. So Shukadev thought that Krishna was only with him, visiting his house. He had no cognizance or awareness that actually at the same time, Krishna and the same entourage of sages and rishis and exalted beings were also visiting the house of King Bahulashva. This was the covering of the yoga maya of Krishna. King Bahulashva thought, merciful Krishna has accepted my invitation only and is coming to my house alone. Too bad, Shukadev is returning home alone, deprived of Krishna's association. On the other side, Shukadeva was thinking, "Ah, my Lord Krishna is accepting my invitation, and the king is going home alone." And simultaneously, the king and the Brahman thus also manifested two forms. Why so? Why did King Bahulasva manifest two forms? And why did the Brahman Shukadeva manifest two forms? One of the forms, they were joyful in association with Krishna, and one form, they were despondent in separation without Krishna. The neighbors of the manifestation of the king who was enjoying Krishna's association, they went to Shukadeva's home to inform him of his misfortune that Krishna went to the king's house and not his. And when those neighbors arrived in Shukadeva's home, they saw that he was very unhappy, experiencing the pangs of separation from his Lord Krishna. Similarly, the assistants of Shukadeva, who was with Krishna and experiencing joy in union, they went to the house of the king, and they saw that the king was alone in his home, despondent in separation, being devoid of Krishna's association. This is a very clever arrangement by Krishna's Yogamaya potency, or basically his Bhaktivatsalya, loving affection for his devotees, to please both devotees at the same time and give himself completely to both devotees. And neither both of them think they're distinctive and special, because it's arranged in such a way that they don't know that Krishna is also with the opposite devotee. Krishna is very expert in pleasing everyone. He's an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. It's called Kaladesha Suprajna. Kaladesha Suprajna. It's one of Krishna's 64 qualities. He's an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance, or time, place, and persons. On King Bahulashva, a descendant of King Janak, saw Krishna and the sages in his home, he was so grateful and astonished, and he treated them and received them in the best possible way he could, and worshipped everyone opulently, and fed everyone to their full satisfaction. Then he started massaging Krishna's feet and speaking, "O Almighty Lord, you are the soul of all created beings and their witness, and now you are giving your audience to us who constantly meditate on your lotus feet. You have said, neither Ananta, the goddess Fortune, nor Brahma is dearer to me than my unalloyed devotee. Just to prove your words to be true, you have appeared in my house." This verse that King Bahulashva uses to glorify Sri Krishna, that he's dearer to his pure devotee, he says he's in his unalloyed devotee, it was actually a glorification of Krishna, glorifying his devotee Uddhav, great pure devotee, and this is spoken in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, chapter 14, verse 15. So here in Videha province, the king Bahulashva is saying, "Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, Balaram, Ananta, the goddess of fortune, Brahma, you said neither of them are dearer to me than my unalloyed devotee." Well, that's true in a general way, that any unalloyed, pure, premi bhakta of the Lord is more dear than all these personalities, but specifically it was referring to Uddhav. And the verse, as I said, is 11:14:15. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, "Natata me priyatam atma yonir na shankaraha nacha sankarshano na shriya Naivatmacha Yatabhavan." Oh, my dear Uddhav, you are my very closest friend. This is a translation of Naeva Atma. In other words, you are like my Atma. Uddhava, you are like my Atma. you're my Atma. Your na eva Atma becomes naivatma. So the other devotees, they're great devotees, obviously Lakshmi Devi, Brahma, and Shankar, and what to speak of his brother Balaram, a very great devotee, eternal associates of the Lord, serving him wonderfully, in the best possible way. Nevertheless, Uddhava is in his own special separate category. He's not only a friend and a devotee, but Krishna's accepting him as his very Atma. It's one thing to be a Bandhu, or a Mitra, or a Surit, to be a friend, but to be someone's very Atma, the soul of their souls. So he's a Priyatam. Priyatama me. This is Uddhava. You're my very dear, my very closest friend, Uddhava. No one is as close to me as you are. Not even the self-born Brahma, Shankara, my brother Balaram, or the other half of my body, Lakshmi. Indeed, not even my own self is as dear as you are to me. This is an extraordinary glorification and complete internal acceptance of his pure devotee deep in the core of his heart. King Bahulasha was recounting this verse and speaking the same in this particular chapter of the Bhagavatam. What person, my Lord, who knows the truth would give up your lotus feet when you will actually give your very self to saintly devotees who have nothing of their own? Please stay a few days with the Brahmins in my house to purify it by the dust of your lotus feet. The king was thinking, since contact with Krishna can free anyone from doubts and misconceptions, Lord Krishna's presence in my home will strengthen my intelligence so that I cannot be pierced by the arrows of material enjoyment. In his expansion as Naranarayan, Rishi, Krishna forever resides in Bharik Ashram for the good fortune of the land of Bharata. And so, Krishna should reside in my house for some days for the good fortune of Mithila. Since Krishna's propensity is toward peace and simplicity, he will certainly prefer my simple home to the lavish opulence he's accustomed to in Dwaraka. Krishna agreed to stay for some time to bless everyone there, and then he went to visit Shutadev. He received Lord Chuta and all the sages with just as much enthusiasm, and he bowed down and then began dancing with great joy, waving his shawl. This means, the word waving, dunvan, means that in his ecstasy of having the Lord in his house, Shutadev held his chatter in his hands and waved it above his head while dancing in joy over Krishna's arrival in his house. In other words, he was jumping for joy, as they say, kicking his heels and in great ecstasy. Welcomed his guests with proper asans and beautiful words. They washed the Lord's feet and all the guests, sprinkled the water on their heads and beautiful worship. Although the food was not very opulent because he was a poor Brahmin. So all they made was rice and dal, but Krishna and the sages were very happy and pleased because it was cooked and offered with love. While serving his guests, Shutadev was thinking, I've fallen in the Grihamanda Kupam, but how have I been able to meet Krishna and all these great brahmanas? Then while Krishna relaxed after taking prasadam, Shutadev came and glorified him with so many beautiful verses. My Lord, you are the Supreme Soul and we are your servants. How shall we serve you? Lord Krishna was very pleased with Shutadev's prayers. Catching his hand, the Lord replied. Then in a series of verses here, Krishna is glorifying the Brahmins, their position, their exaltation, to impress upon the readers for all time and to teach the students of Bhagavatam how exalted are the Brahmins. They say the Brahmins are Bhudevas, the gods of the earth. There's Naradeva, the kings, and Bhudevas, the Brahmins. Krishna spoke in 51, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so 6, 7 verses. He spoke the glories of the Brahmins. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahmamste Anu Krihartaya Sampraptan Vidyamun Munin Sancharanti Maya Lokan Punantak Pararenubi. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, "My dear Brahmana Shutadev, you should know that all these great sages who are accompanying me have come to your house just to bless you. They travel throughout the worlds with me, purifying the worlds with the dust of their feet." Vishwanath's commentary 51. Sri Krishna was saying, in other words, why did he? The question may be asked, why is Krishna directing Shutadev's mind towards the Brahmins and his entourage rather than himself? Because he detected something that he wanted to point out to Shutadev. So Vishwanath says that Sri Krishna said, "Shutadev, I have heard you praise me, but not the Brahmanas accompanying me. Being favorable to the Brahmanas, now I will personally praise them in order to teach you and others about devotion to the Brahmanas." By saying this, Krishna implies, even though I am your object of praise, the Brahmanas are mine, my object of praise. By addressing Shutadev with the word Brahmams, which means O Brahmana, by this word, O Brahman, Brahmana, Krishna indicates that since Shutadev also is a Brahman, he need not show as much respect as he does. 52, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Deva Kshetrani Tirthani Darshanat Sparshanarchane Shane Punantikalena Tadapyat Hattam Mekshaya. Sri Krishna said, "Shutadev, and everyone else, one can gradually become purified by seeing, touching, and worshipping temple deities, seeing, touching, and worshipping places of pilgrimage and holy rivers. However, one can attain all these results, the same results, immediately, not over time, but immediately, simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. Moreover, the Brahmanas who immediately purify one just by their darshan are even greater than temple deities who slowly purify one. This is confirmed by the sons of King Prachinabarhi in 4th Canto, chapter 30, verse 37. Tesham Vicharatam Pabhyam Tirtanam Pavanechaya Pitasyakem Norocheta Tavakanam Samagama. Dear Lord, your devotees wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? That was Vishwanath's purport. Text 53. Shri Bhagavan Avacha Brahmana Janmana Shreyan Savesham Praninam Miha Tapasa Vidyaya Tushtya Kim Umat Kalaya Yuta. Sri Krishna said, Shrutadev, by his very birth, a Brahman is the best of all living beings in this world. And he becomes even more exalted when he is endowed with austerity, learning, and self-satisfaction, tapa, vidya, and tushta. What to speak of devotion to me, Krishna Bhakti. By birth, austerity, peace, and knowledge, the Brahmana is the best of all living entities. And then he is even more so when he has attained the direct realization of me by intensely worshipping me. 54. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Na brahmanam me dayatam rupam me tach chaturbhujam sarvavedamayo vipra sarvadevamayo yaham. Even my own forearm form is no dearer to me than a Brahman. Within himself, a learned Brahman comprises all the Vedas, just as within myself I comprise all the demigods. Sarvavedamayo vipra. Sarvavedamayo vipra means that the Brahman sages, who are the Vedas personified, can reveal Krishna, who embodies all the demigods and Vishnu tattva expansions of Narayan. Dushpragya aviditvayam avajanant yasuyaya Gurum mam vipamatmanam archada vidya dristayaha. Sri Krishna said, ignorant of this truth, Shrutadev, they offend a learned Brahmana who, being non-different from me, is actually their spiritual master and very self. And they consider such foolish people ignorant of the truth, consider worshipable only such obvious manifestations of divinity as my deity form. In other words, Krishna is saying, verse 55, foolish people ignorant of the truth and identity of the Brahmins, they find fault with the Brahmins, and they think that deities are worshipable, but Brahmanas are not. Well, this is obviously the most neophyte consciousness of the Kanishtha Adhikari, who only has regard for the Murti of the Lord, no, not the devotees. Text 56. Sri Bhagavan Avacha Characharam idam vishvam bhava ye chasya hetava marupaniti Chetasya datte vipra madikshaya. Because a Brahman has realized me, a Brahman is firmly fixed in the knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe, characharam vishvam, and also the primary elements of its creation are all manifested forms expanded from me. Vishwanath 56. This verse, Krishna is describing the Brahman gun, the qualities of the Brahmanas. Krishna said, special Brahmanas like Narad Muni, who are endowed with direct realization of me, Marikshaya, know that this universe and its causes, the primary elements such as Mahatattva, are all manifested forms expanded from me. Tasmat Brahmarishim Netan Brahman Mach Chadayachaya Evam Chit Architosmi Yad Dhananjata Buri Bhuttibi. Therefore, Shutadev, you should worship these Brahmana sages with the same faith you have in me. And if you do so, by that worship of the Brahmanas, you will worship me directly, which you cannot do otherwise, even with offerings of vast riches which you may give to me. So instructed by the Lord, Shutadev duly worshipped Krishna and all the Brahmins in his entourage. As a result of the great fortune and pure devotion, Shutadev and the king Bahalashva attained the ultimate transcendental destination. The verse says in 58, describing this Shutadev, Aikatma Bhavena, means Ekatma Bhav, that his Atma, his mind, was fixed, Ekatma, fixed. In other words, Shutadev worshipped Krishna as per his instruction and the sages with undivided attention, which means Shutadev worshipped Krishna and the sages with the understanding that they were non-different. Shukadeva Goswami concludes the chapter by saying, O King, thus Sri Krishna, who is devoted to his own devotees, Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, stayed for some time with his two great devotees, the poor Brahmana Shutadev and the ruling king Bahulashva, thus teaching them the behavior of perfect saints. Then the Lord returned to Dwarka. Krishna stayed with these two devotees and taught them the path of devotion, Bhakti Marg, practiced by the great souls, Sat, the sadhus, Satam, and then returned to Dwarka.